from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is hour number two. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, joined by Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, GoPowerCat.com, or his K-State insider duties here on Sports Daily via video for the first time. Before we get to Jad, I got to know, Did Chad leave you any info, just in case, on the event, if you need some backup there?
I have some contact details, yes.
For my net, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Who knows, everybody? You might see me out there on Monday Night Raw. Appreciate Chad Gable stopping by. If you missed any of that conversation, you can go back. You can watch that on our video stream, which you can find now on 12 News Connected. We are happy to be here with you. Happy to have Fitz with us. Fitz and the pup. What's pup's name there, Fitz, if you're watching on the video stream?
Oh, wait, no,
we got them both here. We got them both.
Yeah. That's dude, the brown one's Daphne.
How's it going out there? Looks beautiful out on the back deck.
Yeah, it is. It's a little humid, but it's good. I decided not to be in the studio for you boys. I came outside.
I love it. It is a beautiful day. We are so happy to be able to do these video interviews, which we just started this week. So that'll be another wrinkle for everybody. You know, Fitz, it's a strange time. It's a calm before the storm. What have we missed over the past couple of weeks in K-State sports? I assume the basketball team is working like most are now. But, you know, is there anything the casual fan has missed out on really since Big 12 Media Days?
No, it's pretty slow. And because this is a vacation window, particularly for football coaches. Guys, we got an open practice August 1st. That's less than a week. So, it's crazy. This is the final hurrah for football coaches to get out there. And they're taking advantage of it. I know Coach Kleiman went to the mountains of Colorado for a good solid week and just put his phone down. So they all needed that refresher before football really kicks in.
Are there any major question marks, you know, specifically offensively for this football team, you know, as we get closer and closer, inching closer, you know, to the start of the season? Is it mainly offensive line? I mean, are there things that we're looking at that we just even still don't know how it's going to pan out?
But offensive line is probably the biggest question mark for this team. And the fact that they've been so set there for many years, they've had such, you know, reliable offensive linemen. And they had a completely dominant guard in Cooper Beebe. So trying to retool that offensive line with the new quarterback is critical to get it down early. You don't want to get Avery Johnson beaten up early in the season. So we'll see if they get that settled in pretty quickly. But that's probably the biggest question mark on this team. You know, that's not to say there aren't other issues that need to be sorted out here in fall camp. But really, getting that offensive line set is such a crucial piece of what K-State wants to do offensively.
Fitz, I want to go to ACC Media Days for just a second. They've been sort of the topic of things. It sounds like the reporting is Florida State and Clemson are not going to do anything as soon as next year. That deadline most people expect will come and go. But their commissioner, and I don't blame him for this necessarily, you know, is sort of taking swings back at your mark. We're clearly the third best league and all of these things. But I just, all I see when I see anything come out of the ACC is it's history repeating itself. They're going to do the same thing and fall into the same trap the Pac-12 fell in, that the Big 12 almost fell into. And it just seems inevitable, and that there's no consideration for them to do something else to avoid that inevitability, is that they'll get poached and they'll crumble.
Yeah, it's a very strange situation. It is similar to the Pac-12 and different in the fact that the media contract's in place, so that's not looming over their head. Their media contract is less than ideal, but they do have one in place, and there is an exit fee in place that is, you know, nobody knows for sure what it is because they haven't released any of that information, which is part of the court cases that they should be public information. I think the ACC purists are banking on, literally their plan right now is to hold Florida State and Clemson hostage by having such a big buyout they can't leave. That makes for a lovely conference. But they really can't afford to have them leave either. So they're kind of in a bad situation. I thought Phillips's comments at the ACC football kickoff were really interesting. And, you know, I've never heard a commissioner come out swinging at one of his own member schools quite like that. So it was mostly aimed at Florida State and trying to, you know, shove it in the face of your mark. What they don't get is your mark and the Big 12 are very comfortable with where they're at. They're in a very solid position. They can throw insults and believe what they want to believe. But, you know, I think the future will bear out that the Big 12 is indeed the third most important conference, because it's going to show up in the money being paid for media rights.
The Big 12 announced that they hired a director of football operations and competition. And this person comes from the University of Georgia. He was the assistant AD and director of football operations for the last three seasons. So kind of interesting that Brett Yormark brings in somebody to work for the conference that had spent 3 years for a school in the SEC that had won a couple of national championships to work in bolstering the overall football product for that conference. You know, clearly, as we all know, football is the revenue driver long term. I mean, it just, to me, again, shows just the importance and the priority that Yormark is placing on bolstering up what the Big 12 wants to do with football.
That sounds like a great job. I'd love that job.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what entails that job. I don't know what you do at the conference level for football operations. You don't have a football team from the Big 12. You've got a bunch of schools that have football teams. So I don't know exactly what that will encase, but you know, Yormark doesn't hire people to give a friend a job. He always has purpose behind what he does. And keep in mind, his number one thing from the presidents and chancellors is up the profit, you know, bring on more money. So he's not one to be out there just spending money unless he sees it as a position of need. So maybe they've got some things that they feel like at the conference level will really help their football operations and kind of, you know, maybe their projection of what they are out across the country.
It is all about money. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com publisher, at Life of Fitz on social media. And because it's all about money, that's where you see all this. And in the next, what do we have, 4 years left until the Big 12 has to go back to the table. And in order to make the money that they'll need to make to pay the players that they're going to inevitably have to share revenue with when the time comes, they do have to drive more money, which means geography and anything else is out the window. How many teams do you think are out there realistically that make the league more valuable? We know Florida State and Clemson would.
Yeah.
But is there, you know, are there six of them, 10 of them? Like, how many teams could actually increase that value the next time they go to the table, do you think?
There's a number in the ACC, which is the greatest irony of the ACC predicament. They've got brands that can help the Big 12. They've got brands that could help the Big 10 or SEC that they want. But put together as a group, they don't carry much value. It's a strange thing because it's all based on viewership and engagement. And look, let's be blunt here. Florida State's right. There are schools in that conference that are weighing it down dramatically because they just don't bring much to the table. They don't bring much viewership. They don't, you know, particularly bring great sports. And that's their biggest concern. While in the Big 12, I don't think that's necessarily true. I'll be honest. I think Arizona State needs to catch up, and there's some other schools. But everyone takes it seriously. You know, there's just some schools out there that just don't seem that invested in college sports, and that it really damages the entire conference. But, yeah, Florida State, Clemson are the top two. And if you're the Big 12, you're looking at, you know, football exposure. And the next two in that conference with viewing value are – Louisville and Miami. And another piece of irony is the most coveted piece of the ACC grouping is North Carolina, because it's a huge footprint, it's a huge university, they do get pretty good ratings. But if you're just looking at pure numbers right now, they're not in the top four of valuable assets in terms of what the Big 12 wants from the ACC.
I want to go back to Wildcat football here really quickly, Fitz. Avery Johnson specifically, I saw in the New York Post earlier this week. I don't know if you knew this. I'm an avid New York Post reader daily. I'm reading it from front to back. There was a writer that put Avery Johnson in the Heisman conversation for this season. I'm not sure how realistic that is, and I know a lot of it's going to be determinant on the success of the team overall, you know, and how high profile the team ends up being. And maybe with the 12-team playoff format, you know, I think that maybe becomes more realistic. I certainly think that maybe next season that becomes more realistic. But how realistic do you think that could potentially be? Or what would need to happen in your mind for Avery Johnson this year to be a legitimate Heisman contender?
Well, the writer said he was going to win it, which mathematically gets very difficult to get to, because if he's going to win the Heisman, he has to go minimum 3,500 yards passing and over 1,000 rushing.
Yeah.
And those are huge numbers for K-State's offense, because it's more of a ball possession type offense, or has been. Maybe it changes with the dynamic quarterback, the level of Avery Johnson. But I think even your most avid Avery Johnson supporter would say, slow down here, man. It's his first year as starting quarterback, and he's going to make mistakes. He's going to have some struggles, but he is going to get better. I think you're right. 2025, which he's got to be in school through that season, is the bigger one to look at. Because also, for what we started the segment with, the offensive line will be more settled at that point, I believe, and have some more time to gather themselves. I just think the future is so huge for Avery Johnson. The upside's absolutely amazing. But winning a Heisman in 2024, it's going to be an amazing run for Kansas State into the playoffs, because you probably have to be unbeaten, if not at worst one loss, for a Kansas State quarterback to be in that mix.
I have my ticket in on him, and I have had it for a long time, but I also have one on Jalen Daniels. So I'd ask you this, Fitz. Yeah. More likely to win a dark horse Heisman, Avery Johnson or a fully healthy and he has played all games, Jalen Daniels?
It's hard to say. I would probably, just if all things, other things were equal, it's Jalen Daniels, just because he's a highlight reel. But the way the Heisman works with teams such as Kansas and Kansas State, there's a team factor in there.
Yeah,
you can't advance. Look, we had a quarterback from LSU win the Heisman last year, and I don't know whether they have three or four losses.
Yeah.
Rules are different for Kansas State and Kansas. So, if Kansas has some problems on defense or whatever, and they don't accomplish what they hope to accomplish, Jalen didn't have a chance, and the same would be true with Avery. So it's that's one of my frustrating things about it, is how the voters kind of react to different schools with different priorities or different, parameters of judgment. It doesn't make sense to me as a voter what they do. But I also look at the list. You mentioned the odds. You go look at the list of the odds. And the ones I saw the other day, three of the top five are former Big 12 quarterbacks. Dylan Gabriel is the favorite to win the Heisman. Guys, he's not that good.
I don't think he's as good as either of those guys we just mentioned.
I don't understand what that hype is. Also, Quinn Ewers is in there. Sorry, he's not that good. And Will Howard's up there too, and I think Will's going to have a big season with that Ohio State offense, but is he going to put up the kind of consistent play and flashy plays that you need to win the Heisman Trophy? And I think it's a wide open field this year, and I think someone not expected will win it, but I do think it'll be someone with a little more experience that can stay healthy through the year. And, you know, right now I have doubts about Avery having the kind of performance you need and Jalen trying to stay healthy, because anytime you've been fighting a bad back in your career, it's just going to linger, and that question is always going to be around it.
I don't know if you had a chance to watch or lock in at all to the TBT here in Wichita. You know, earlier this week, K-State's alumni team Purple Rain fell in their opener against Team Colorado. You know, they ultimately ran all the way through the Wichita Regional, and they advance out of the Wichita Regional. I watched that opening game with Purple Rain. Really, it was, for me, even though K-State's alumni team lost, it was fun to watch Jacob Pullen, you know, hit all four of his shots from beyond the arc that he took. Was 4 of 12 from the field, but, you know, hit those four shots from beyond the arc. And Kamau Stokes had 14 points, fun to watch him as well. You know, of course, they lose in their opening round, but at least I think it's fun to see kind of those guys come back and play and be able to, you know, have that nostalgia factor, I think.
Yeah, that's what's cool about the tournament is, you know, you do see collections of players, but there's a consistency to the disappointments the K-State team has had through the years. They just can't quite get the right collection of players and make the plays at the right times to advance out of that regional. So it's been a little frustrating for K-State fans. They kind of get invested every year and then boink. I'm just not a big TBT fan. I think it's kind of cool. It fills a gap, but I'm not that invested in it. And we cover it because the fans are interested in it. And it just continues to kind of different names, same results.
Yeah, it's weird to say. I mean, the Elam ending is incredible, but, you know, the tournament itself is very predicated on the local teams. All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at GoPowerCat.com this week?
Well, we got a little bit more coming up here with, you know, spring football previews. We've got a lot of recruiting stuff going up right now. And, of course, the daily deliveries that go up every day. And some interesting things going on right now with scholarship limits being raised for football, men's basketball, volleyball, softball, and baseball. And I get all of them except the football component. I see what they're trying to do, but it's just going to be the rich getting richer and stockpiling talent. If you ask me, it's going to really hurt non-Power 5, Power 4 football and, you know, the FCS, I mean, you know, and down into Division 2 even. Because if every power team would use the 20 extra scholarships, that's 1,300 players being stockpiled at that level that wouldn't have been there before, or maybe they would have been as walk-ons. But I'm not comfortable with that, guys. I think you mentioned the greed. I think it's now taken over to the fact where they don't even want lower levels of football to have nice things. And I'm just kind of just not at ease with it.
I had not seen that ruling. We will check that. I'm going to check that out at GoPowerCat.com because that's something that I have missed. So we'll check that, Fitz. Next week, we're going to have a football game of sorts or an open practice in the books when we talk to you. That's going to be good stuff.
It's crazy. I'm sorry. How is it August?
I know.
Pretty soon. I don't understand what happened.
Hey, we got a week. We got a week. Our kids are going back to school in like less than 3 weeks. I don't know what to think about all of that, but the good news is, right, ladies, Fitz can join us via video now.
I was going to say, I'm getting instant feedback right now that the popularity of our program has now skyrocketed because Fitz is on camera with us.
I'll just easy.
Okay. Fitz, this is a family program here. It's a family program, but okay. We'll bring it. We'll bring it back next week. Fitz, we appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, boys. Great to see you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on social media, joining us via the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP. IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. We're going to come back. All right, we've had back-to-back interviews. Appreciate Chad Gable, WWE superstar. I'm told Chad is working with the WWE executives to see if Mickey Blaze might need to make an appearance. So we'll check in on that as well. But we've got to get back
some waivers for you to sign.
What am I releasing if I'm injured? Am I signing some sort of release?
I haven't gotten through all of the fine print, but that appears to be the gist of it.
I would hope that anybody viewing it would sign a waiver as well.
Yeah, there's no chance Mickey Blaze would get hurt. Hey, I just saw my CG. I appreciate that. How long has that been up?
Since Chad's been on with us.
No way.
Yeah.
I just saw that. That's fantastic. I'm going to stall here so I can take a little screen grab as we're making our way through. While I'm stalling, let's give away some HTO. If you want to win some free reign coffee, you can do that right now with us here by texting the short code TEA to 20357. That's 20357. You can win a free iced tea from either Wichita location of HTO or in Derby. You can also win some free reign coffee from East Wichita or Derby. Good luck, everybody. 20357. Just text the keyword T to win right now. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Mickey Blaze alongside Tommy Caster. We are making our way through a Thursday, and we are getting you ready for a day off for the Royals. No baseball today. And, you know, don't take it for granted because it's the only time they're going to have a day off for a while here until August 11th. I don't feel terrible about the loss last night because it was a blown save, and normally those make me angrier than anything. But I don't think it's something that would tell us they're not still feeling it, you know, coming out of the All-Star break, right? Like they very much should have won that game, and then we'd be talking about 5 out of 6 coming out of the break. And I know it's frustrating, and they lost ground on Minnesota, and they lost ground on Cleveland, and all of those things. But it doesn't make me as angry as it typically would. And I hope that holds true after the break, because after the break, guess what? They get to go on the road where they haven't been nearly as good. So they're going to be tested here, and we'll see how it goes. They'll line up some pitching and take a swing at it. But as we get into this final day before the trade deadline, you would think this is an opportunity for the front office to get on the phones and try to do anything they can to make something happen. You'd seen another rumor yesterday, Tommy, that they're going after an A's player that they have previously dropped. And I would imagine there is just like a long list of guys that the Royals have down that they're checking in on, which is one reason this may take a little longer and literally be a deadline type deal, because they have to evaluate and find out who they really want, how much they want them, how much they're willing to give up, what teams are willing to give them up. All those things are happening, and it changes every day. We started this week saying, let's say the Texas Rangers, for example, were probably sellers. Well, now they're probably buyers all of a sudden. And so it goes back and forth like that across baseball, and it's going to continue to
changes
do that.
By
and
the
there
day.
there are teams that will, yes,
yeah,
go back and forth and waffle every single day. The Rangers now on a 4-game win streak, as an example, only 3 games back in the American League West. That's it. 3 games back.
Yeah.
You think they're going to sell? They're not going to sell. And there are teams like that across baseball.
I mean, they might
if they lose a bunch of games right now, right in a row. But, you know, you look around baseball and there are teams like that all over the place.
My Braves are not going to catch the Phillies. They're too far back. They don't have the firepower to catch the Phillies. They've been bit by the injury bug. Max Fried is on the IL now. Ozzie Albies is on the IL. He won't be back until late September. You know, they've lost, like, I think 3 in a row. They're really slumping right now because of the injuries. They're going to be a wild card team barring a major epic collapse. So I think that they'll still add, but they're not going to be overly aggressive, I don't think. They'll probably try to plug some holes here and there just to kind of keep pace and, you know, maybe try to make the playoffs and see what they can do. But it's not going to be like we're going to go all in and be uber aggressive. Going back to the Royals, ESPN, and you mentioned this a moment ago, it's funny because this time of year with the trade deadline, there's a big difference between reporting and rumors. And there are rumors out there that ESPN is talking about. They're not reporting on anything. They're just talking about rumors that the Royals are interested in Brent Rooker from the Athletics. The Athletics picked up Rooker off of waivers. The Royals put him on waivers at the end of 2022. Last year, Rooker was an all-star with the A's, and then this year he's been even better. He's had a bunch of home runs. The interesting thing about Rooker is that he's a DH. He's only started, I think, 13 games in the field. The rest of the games, he's been a designated hitter. And then the question begs with the Royals, well, they've got Salvi, you know, at DH when he plays there. And then they've got, you know, Pasquantino who can play DH. And then they've got, you know, a couple, there've been other players that have DH'd
for Fermin
as DH. Like, they've got options at designated hitter. So then how are they going to manage all of that? But when you've got somebody that's a power bat like Brent Rooker, and it's been consistent over the last 2 years, and, oh, by the way, he played in the Royals organization up until the end of 2022, that is an interesting fit. It does not solve the issue of a leadoff hitter that can play center field and that swings a big bat, but it does add more.
You could put him at the top of the lineup,
but it does absolutely add some pop and some power to your lineup for sure.
You could add him to the top of the lineup because he gets on base a ton. He would get on base. I mean, he's up there with like Bobby Witt Jr. as far as that goes this year. So you could do that. I don't know. Like, they really, really need Hunter Renfroe to learn how to play center field all of a sudden. And I don't think you want to do that either, because you don't want to lose the defense. But like, it is a bit of a problem. And I think MJ Melendez could absolutely be a platoon player and still help this team. Like, if you can bring in a bat like that, you probably should go ahead and do it. And the other thing about a guy like Rooker, and I'll have to look up his contract, he could help you for a while. The way he's gone, it's, you know, and I know that stings that you had him and you just let him go. But I mean, listen, he was not this kind of player forever. Last year, he, you know, his pop shone through and he hit 30 home runs. He's going to hit more than that this year. His average has jumped almost 45 points this year. He's been better everywhere. Guys bloom late. This happens all the time in baseball. So he would be another guy, and he is not an unrestricted free agent, Tommy, until 2028. So yeah, you're talking about 3.5 years of control. So that's the sort of name that's interesting. Like Harvey, right? Those are plays that are, yeah, they'd help you this year, but they're plays that you're looking at long term. If you go trade for Brent Rooker, you're evaluating him as your everyday outfielder, corner outfielder, for the next 3 years. You're not evaluating him as a DH. I don't think they're evaluating any player as a DH, because they need Salvi to be able to play that position some. Or Vinny Pasquantino, one of the two, right? And one of those guys is going to have to learn a new position. That ain't happening. So that's another like long-term move that can also help you in the short term. It's a really interesting name, and it probably a moderately expensive name at this point, I would imagine. But he doesn't solve your immediate need. He does one, but he's going to, if you go get Rooker, so probably MJ Melendez's role on this team goes way down, and that's okay. Like, that's, you know, that's okay. He can platoon, he can fill in. Somebody's going to get hurt most likely. It's a good problem to have. I wouldn't get Brent Rooker if he couldn't lead off, but you know, the way he's gotten on base, just put him up there. Who cares? Or lead off Vinny Pasquantino at this point. Like, lead one of them off. Stop worrying about how fast a guy is if they can be your leadoff batter. No. You just need somebody on base for those other three guys to try to knock them in. You're getting nothing out of that spot. And unless they try Freddie Fermin there, I'm not sure they have anybody on the roster that could even be a better. I mean, these guys are 0 for every night. It's wild. I've never seen anything like it. They're always 0 for.
When I read that rumor that they're looking at Brent Rooker and they're kicking the tires on that move potentially, it told me one thing that I think is really, really important, and something that I think it bears watching as we inch closer to the deadline on Tuesday. And that is, I believe the Royals are going to make multiple high-profile, potentially, moves before the trade deadline. The reason I say that is because if the rumor was that they were linked to a center fielder that could be a leadoff hitter and that could get on base, if that was the rumor, then I would think, okay, well, that's the move they're going to make. They're going to make one move. They're linked to that one player. They're going to make one trade to get the one guy that they need to fill that one role.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But they're rumored, and it's ESPN, they're rumored with a guy that is not a center fielder, that has played all but 13 games at the DH spot in the lineup. He could be a leadoff hitter, but he hits a bunch of home runs. He does not solve your issue in the field. And that's the rumor currently. So that would lead me to believe that while that's the one trade that has been rumored and talked about and that's out there right now, that's, you know, everybody's talking about, there are other ones that are being worked on, discussed, whatever, behind the scenes that are not being rumored right now. So that would that's just kind of my takeaway from all of it, is that there could very well be multiple high-profile trades that the Royals are a part of in adding before the trade deadline. That was my takeaway when I read that. And you know what? I've also read from multiple outlets, ESPN, I think CBS Sports was one, there have been others. They've all said that the Royals are going to be aggressive, that they're going to be aggressive buyers. And you know what? They don't have, number one, the assets. Number two, they don't have the financial wherewithal, I don't think, to be able.
That's what they don't. That may be different.
I don't think they're going to be able to be the Dodgers. I don't think they're going to be able to be the Phillies. No. Like, I don't think they can buy their way like those other teams necessarily could. But I do think that they're going to be able to be as aggressive as they possibly can be.
They'll empty the farm. They might be willing to spend. I don't know that the kinds of players, you know, that take a lot of dollars are even out there. Here is the challenge of it right now, because I agree with those people. It is the timing is right. There's not a lot that would jeopardize what you have. The core of this team, the future of this team, is called up currently, and you have this window. But you're looking at a situation right now where all of a sudden in the National League, like, none of the divisions feel like they're attainable. So what you have right now in the National League is like 10 teams within reach of the wild card. Now, Washington already told you they're selling. So now you've got the Cubs, the Giants, the Reds, the Pirates, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the Cardinals, the Mets, the Braves competing for three spots. And if that sounds like too many, the Cubs are only 5 games back. Okay. Like, there are a ton of teams, and this could all change over the course of the next 4 days, but it becomes very difficult right now to know A, who you're bidding against in a lot of cases, and B, if any of those teams might all of a sudden have assets you might want. So you got to scout all their guys too, just in case. But I'll tell you this, the advantage that the Royals have right now, and the advantage that they have at this trade deadline, is that they don't need starting pitching. Now, J.J. Piccolo told us you can never have too much and you could always use depth there. But the reality is, I don't think the Royals are in the market at all for starting pitching. I think, and it goes back to our original, you know, it goes back to our original point, they may end up just, not on accident, but they may find themselves with an opportunity at a reliever that could be a high leverage guy down the road, just because they're like, you know what? We've already gone and we've made a couple that let's just do it all. Rick says this on YouTube, and we see this comment a lot. If they empty their farm system, they'll be back to losing 100 games soon again. I'm gonna ask you this, Rick. They lost 100 games last year. They've lost basically they've been doing that for the last 6 years. What has graduated this year from the farm that has helped them win the games that they're winning right now? Like, who came up and has it's Alex Marsh, right? To some degree, and that's it. Nothing else about what they've done has been because the farm system has been helping them this year. That is not what's happened. Their farm system isn't any good. And it's not going to be any good if they don't make any trades. It's just not good. So what's currently there, it's not like, it's not a good farm system anyway. So I don't know how much emptying it now, like, who on the farm is set to help this team They're in a window right now because of the free agents that they brought in and because the players that had already graduated the farm, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Alex Marsh, I guess you could say Colt Reagans, although he was a big leaguer the moment they traded for him. It's not like all of these exciting young players have put the Royals in the position they're in right now. The reason this year is so exciting is because of their abject failure on the farm for the last 5 or 6 years. There's nothing down there that you could see helping this team in the next 2-3 years anyway.
Are you cool with
them?
I mean,
that's a little aggressive. That's a little aggressive. I'm sure they're
good with them, like moving out everybody. Like, are you like Mitchell and Caglione?
You'd like to hold
and
not Caglione. Caglione may help the team this year. Yeah. He's the type of player that they could call
a little aggressive.
That might be a little. It might be a little rich, but I'm saying like he is an advanced bat. And somebody asked me that, and I don't think he will this year, but. Like he's like Wyatt Langford was last year. He could easily get called up to start the year next year and help the team. No, they're not trading him. They're probably not trading Blake Mitchell. Everybody else, I would say, is available.
Mazzucato?
And Blake Mitchell. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Blake Mitchell might even be available. Maybe. But yes. And look, there has to be an architectural plan on this. If you do this, you've got to tell John Sherman right now, like, hey, if Waka doesn't come back, we're going to have to go find a starting pitcher in the free agent market next year. Like, are we okay with that? Because you're going to have to commit to spending some dollars again this offseason. Those conversations are happening. Like, if they choose to go down this path, it will be a path that helps them win for the next 2 or 3 years. And then they'll have to rebuild their farm system through the draft.
Can I tell you, like, if they're going to, let's say they move somebody like Mitchell, I would be more okay with it if the return is maybe one player that can help them contribute right away, and then maybe 2 or 3 minor leaguers that can help you replenish your farm system to an extent. At that point, like, I would be maybe okay with that. Like, you get a little bit of return, so you're not just completely decimating the farm system. You're kind of doing both things at the same time. You're helping currently.
That's what they'll tell you. And we bring up, but why do we bring up Blake Mitchell? Because he's their top prospect. He's the 60th best prospect in baseball. So what can we can focus on the fact that he's their top prospect, but you've got teams with loaded systems that might trade their 3rd or 4th best prospect to get better, who are still more highly rated prospects than Blake Mitchell. So I don't think we can focus so much on the fact that he is the Royals' best prospect as much as what kind of prospect is he overall? What do they envision from him? What does his future look like? It's all on the table. I almost, and understand, I almost never advocate for just pushing it all in like this. But after the last 6 years, I mean, it's just staring at us in the face for this particular organization at this particular time. And I don't think it's a mistake, because what's the worst that can happen? They can do what they've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, that's what the alternative is. This opportunity hasn't presented itself. It's been once since 2015, one time. I think you got to be aggressive. 869-1240 is the number on the IHOP hotline. We'll get back to some more of this conversation. The scholarship rule that Fitz alluded to is, I got to have time to digest it, but we'll get a little more into exactly what's happened as well. Sports Daily, rolling forward on a Thursday. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7-5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on a Thursday. Hope everybody is having a great day out there. Prairie Fire Coffee bringing us some great coffee each morning here at KFH. Appreciate their support of the program. This scholarship ruling, I'm trying to get a wrap on, and it's going to take a day or so. So this happened yesterday, and I missed it. But basically, the NCAA is lifting scholarship restrictions. The immediate reaction is, so the immediate reaction is this only helps the biggest schools, because now all the scholarships that they couldn't give, that, you know, players might choose to come to Wichita State, for example, would instead choose to go to a bigger school. Wichita State didn't have football, but let's take a lesser sport, for example. You know, I say lesser as far as like a non-revenue crazy sport like football. So let's say it's, I don't know, let's say softball, a team that's had a ton of success at Wichita State. And so Wichita State softball, who has thrived, and they just had a bunch of really nice transfers this week, by the way, like really nice transfers come in, program that's thriving, doing great. Does, you know, do other schools getting more scholarships cost Wichita State the ability to get maybe some of those players? I would really have to talk to some coaches to see if they feel that way. The other part of that is that doesn't really change NIL, right? So is a scholarship at Oklahoma is going to be a bad example here. I'm trying to think of what a good example would be. Is a scholarship, Texas Tech. I think the high school softball player of the year just signed with Texas Tech out of the state of Kansas. So let's use them. And let's take Wichita State, who's a great softball program, and by most accounts, a better softball program than Texas Tech. Would you be more likely as a student athlete to go to that school because they have an extra scholarship they might not have had, or Wichita State? And I think my first reaction might be you'd probably go where the better NIL opportunity is, right? More than the scholarship itself. So I think that's something we have to think about before we go nuts on that, is so much of this right now is being decided by NIL. What gets really interesting to me is the revenue sharing part of it. So let's say you use the same example, and I don't know how the revenue share is going to go, but what if it's an SEC school that can guarantee the athlete more of a revenue share? And I don't think the revenue share extends down all the way to all sports. I think it may be something, and that, again, that's why I need more time with this. I just have to have more conversations. But if it's, you know, let's say it's football. Now, does an athlete, where an NIL opportunity might be similar, have more of an advantage to go to an SEC school because their revenue share is greater? And there are a lot of layers to this.
It all comes down to the earning potential. It'd be like
playing potential still matters.
Playing potential does matter, but also earning potential matters significantly.
Sure does.
Future opportunities matter. If you have a better opportunity to make it to the next level, that's going to matter. exposure matters. There are so many different factors that play into it. If I'm a player that is maybe borderline, like will I make the NFL? Probably not. Maybe. Then I'm going to take probably the opportunity that's going to guarantee me the most amount of money if there's no guarantee I'm going to earn at the next level.
So here's one of the big concerns I would see is in the transfer portal. If you have players being misled more often because there are more spots, if they are promised things that can't be delivered on, basically, because there are more spots and teams just feel like they can collect as much talent as they can and lie to the kids, basically. Because they now can offer them through. But here's the other thing to remember. Yeah, they can use up to that many. But if you let's say right now, let's just use round numbers. Let's say you get 50 scholarships right now for the players and you get 100. And I know it's more than that for football, but let's pretend like it is. The problem you're going to run into there is that's more players to share that revenue. So then the players make a little less. So there is a yin and a yang to this. We'll try to get to the bottom of it. Maybe we need to get somebody in here to help us explain it. But that story is out there. That's what that is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back to school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.